Several years ago, I guess, I did an entire series of messages on the power of God's blessing. And that is something that is so important for us to remember. And I'm not going to do another series on that, but I want today to talk to you and remind you that God's heart is to bless you. We're living in a crazy world, in crazy times. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know God's heart for us. And I want us to see in Scripture today some powerful truths about God's blessing and the power of you and I speaking blessings on one another. That's one of the things I love about our small groups, our life groups. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to just share with someone and to bless them, to speak God's blessing into their life, to pray with them if they're struggling in some area. And we're drawing closer together, and we have that opportunity to bless one another in so many ways. Let's look at Genesis chapter 27. This is a familiar story. It's titled in my Bible, Esau's Lost Hope. And we know the story. We know that Isaac was going to bless his son Esau, and Esau wanted that blessing. But we know that his younger brother Jacob and Jacob's mother schemed so that Jacob would receive the blessing of the firstborn son instead of Esau. And let's pick up the story in verse 30. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed, he shall be blessed." I want you to notice that. He's saying, "I can't take back the blessing. I have blessed him. The blessing has gone forward. He has received the blessing." Look at verse 34. And Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O Father." I want you to picture Esau, because I really feel like that's the cry of so many today. They're crying out for the blessing of their father. They're crying out for the blessing of God, their Father, as well. And church, we need to be people of blessing. We need to speak the blessing of God on our children and speak the blessing of God on one another. We need to speak the blessing of God on our city, on our valley, on our nation. Amen? Because God's word shows us that when we speak a blessing, it is powerful according to the word of God. It's not just something we do when someone sneezes. "Oh, bless you." There is power in our words, and when we bless in faith, bless believing, it makes a difference. It makes an awesome difference. Amen? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." We have the ability to speak blessing or the ability to speak cursing. And that's a challenge for us as humans sometimes. If you live down KGB, it's a challenge right now. Seriously, we have that ability to speak blessing or to speak cursing. Which is it going to be? Isaac was tricked into declaring the blessing over his younger son. It was tradition that the oldest son would receive the firstborn son's blessing. He would receive 2/3 of the inheritance, and the other 1/3 would go to the younger son. But it's not just materially that Esau lost out. It's spiritually. It's the blessing that his father had spoken to the what he assumed was his firstborn son. Look at verse 29. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. Everything in that blessing of Isaac upon Jacob came true. Everything did. After Jacob and his mother had deceived Isaac, Isaac begged his father for the father's blessing, but it had already been spoken. Instead, Isaac spoke a blessing on Esau that was almost a curse. Listen to it in verse 40. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. The father had spoken the blessing, and everything he spoke over Jacob came to pass, and everything he spoke over Esau came to pass. Church, you need to realize when you speak blessing over your children, over your grandchildren, over your husband, over your wife, over your family, over your friends, over your church, over your pastor, you can bless me anytime you want to. I receive it. It's powerful. It makes a difference in our lives. We see the power of the blessing continue in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it's talking about Jesus. Did you realize that many times Jesus would be speaking to multitudes of people, thousands of people, and he would stop his preaching or his teaching, and he would call for the little children to come to him. He would pick them up, and he would put his hands on them, and he would bless them. And we see that in this passage. Mark 10, verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. If Jesus thought it was important to stop his ministry to bless the children, why don't we bless our children? Amen? This generation has many children that are longing. They know something is missing from their life, and they're longing for that blessing from their father. Amen? I saw something on the news, I think it was just yesterday, that said 70% of children are born in a single-parent home. And I think this had to do with African American home, but it was a high number in Caucasian and other homes as well. But it was talking about the unbelievable amount of children that are born without a father in a home, and those fathers probably aren't blessing their children. So we have generation of kids that are missing out on what God intended for them to receive from their fathers, from their mothers. And church, we need to change that. Amen? Because the next generation needs Jesus. The next generation needs the blessing of God. One of my favorite passages in Hebrews chapter 11. I love Hebrews chapter 11. It's that great faith chapter, all the heroes of faith. But there's something that I've shared many times, and I'm going to repeat it because we've got people that haven't been here before. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 and 21, before this, we have, you know, the story of Moses by faith, led the people of Israel. He led them out, led the Jewish people out into freedom. Before this, we have Noah. It talks about Noah. And Noah building an ark. And what great faith he had. By faith, Noah built that ark. And we see this list of people. But in verse 20 and 21, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. It's referring to the story in Genesis we just read. Then it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. So here we have a father blessing his children and a grandfather blessing his grandchildren. And church, it's not because it was just a cultural thing. It's because they had faith in God, believing that God commands them to do this, and believing that when they speak the blessing of God on someone, it has an effect in their hearts and lives. And church, we need to be an army of blessers, because our nation needs blessing. The people down the street need blessing. The people you work with, your family members, they need the blessing of God. Now, yes, well, what was Jesus speaking in this blessing? When he would pick the children up, when he would place his hands upon them, what was Jesus speaking over them? I'll tell you exactly what he was speaking over them. We find it in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Through 26. It's commanded by God. God gave this commandment to Moses for the priest, and not only the priest, but the fathers would pronounce this blessing upon their children. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you. What is he saying there? He's saying, let God prosper you. Do you want your children to be prospered? Do you want your friends to prosper? Do you want your family to prosper? Speak blessing upon them. The Lord bless you. And then he says, and keep you. That's protection. How many realize we need protection today? In verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you. And this is interesting. And the idea there is, this speaks of surrounding us with his glory so that no power of hell can penetrate. How many won't like that idea? Amen. Lord, make your face shine upon us and be gracious to you. May God's grace see you through every trial, every tribulation, every storm. In verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That means to come under the smile of God's approval. How many want your children and your family, your friends, our nation to come under the smile of God's approval? Amen. Amen. So we bless them. And then it says, and give you peace. Complete. The idea of peace in Scripture means wholeness. Spirit, soul, and body. And verse 27 says, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So when they were speaking this blessing upon them, God says, you're putting my name on them. So all of the attributes of God's nature and his character are being put on us when we bless someone in his name. We're putting the name of Jesus on our family, on our friends, on our children. How many like that idea? How many want Jesus' name on your life? Amen. Amen. So that Jesus and the Jewish fathers, as spiritual authority over their children and over their congregation, he would speak this blessing over the people. And it affected the future in their lives. It's powerful. In church, I want to, as a pastor, encourage you, never stop blessing and praying for your children. It doesn't matter if you live to be 100. Continue to speak the blessing on your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Now notice verse 27 again. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel. Why is that powerful? Well, let me give you just a few scriptures of why it's so powerful. I want you to think about this. The blessing is never going to be found in the name of a human. It's not going to be found in the name of Donald Trump. It's not going to be found in the name of Rockefeller or Bill Gates or any other billionaire. It's not going to be found in the lottery commissioner when he calls you up and says you won the lotto. It's not going to be found, church, when that rich uncle passes away and his estate calls and says, you've inherited everything. There's greater blessings than finances. And you can be very wealthy and not experience the ultimate life that God wants you to have. But when you come under the blessing of the living God, and you're living for Him, and that blessing is upon you, His name is upon you, you will live blessed. I've never been wealthy, but I'm blessed. I don't have a rich uncle or a rich aunt to leave me any money. I don't have rich parents. My dad's gone to be with the Lord. My mom's not rich. She was a school teacher. But you know what? I am blessed. And I wouldn't trade my life or the things that I have for all the money that Bill Gates has. Because I've got something that's so much greater than that. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted and given Him, speaking of Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name that compares to the name of Jesus. In that name, we have salvation according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In that name, we have the way, the truth, and the life according to John chapter 14, verse 6. In that name, He answers our prayers according to John chapter 14, verse 13. In that name, we have power over all the power of the enemy, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And in Mark chapter 16, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Now listen to this. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. It's talking about divine protection. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's about divine presence of God in our lives, ministering to people through our lives. Why? Because we have His name upon us. Amen. The name of the Lord is the name above every name. It's the name where blessing flows from. It's the awesome promise that can only come from our Creator and Lord. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Scripture says, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Scripture also says, He is the great physician, the good shepherd, and the great I am. Welcome His name in your life. Welcome His name over your life to be stamped in your... You need to have a spiritual tattoo that says, Jesus. Amen. Some of you are going, I've got a real one right here. God loves you. Now listen to this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female, he created them. Now listen to the very next verse. Then God blessed them. The first thing God did after creating Adam and Eve, he created mankind, he blessed them. He blessed them. You need to receive that today. It's God's heart to bless you. Somebody, is anybody here today? I don't want to live a life where curses come against me. I want to live a life where God's blessing is upon me and every curse is rebuked in Jesus' name. One of my favorite Old Testament passages talks about God's desire to bless us. And I've touched on this before. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I love this passage. Verses 1 through 8. Now it shall come to pass. Now listen to this. There's a blessing that God says, I want to bless you with, but there's something that he requires of us. He says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. You want to know why we're the greatest nation that's ever existed? It's because our founding fathers, for the vast majority of them, were born again believers. The first Congress printed the Bible to put in our public schools to teach our children to read. We had an awesome foundation and we've drifted away from that, and our nation is not as great as it once was. But I'm still praying and still believing that God can turn that around. How about you? Verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He says, if you live a life where you're striving to obey my word, obey my commands, you can't outrun my blessings. You can't do it. God says it's inevitable. You can try, you can run, you can be fast and be a soccer mom or football mom where you're taking kids to music, you're taking kids to the games, you're taking them to school, and here, and you still can't outrun the blessings of God. Aren't you thankful for that? He says, you're running, you're out there fast going. He says, my blessings are going to come up behind you, they're going to overtake you and bless you, and you can't get away from them. I love that. Look at verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country. Church, it doesn't matter where you live. You may have a little log cabin out on 80 acres, and you may live, 200 miles from anybody else in the entire world. And God says, if you're living for me, you're going to be blessed. You may live in the middle of Manhattan, in a high-rise apartment. And I'm praying for you if you do. But that's another story. But God says you can't outrun my blessings if you're living for me. It doesn't matter where we live. And church, that stirs my heart, because I believe even though Wasilla isn't well known in the world today, I believe that God can move right here in our valley. I believe he can manifest his glory. I believe that God can bring revival to the valley. Because he says, if we're living for him, we're going to be blessed. The next verse, 4, says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. There's two things there. First of all, God says, if you're living for me, I'm going to bless your children. A lot of children are blessed, even though they're not living for God like they should, because their parents are living for God like they should. Parents, you bless your children. I was blessed. I know that. Because both of my grandparents, both sides of my family, they loved God, they lived for God. My mom and dad, they both loved God, they lived for God. So I know as the third generation, I am blessed because of that. And I tell my children, children, you're blessed. You're blessed because your mom and I, we're not perfect, but your mom and I love Jesus. And because of that, God's word says he's blessing you. There have been times, church, that I've faced something difficult, and I would pray this way. I'd say, Lord, you tell me that I am blessed because of the life that my parents lived and my grandparents. And Lord, I'm in a situation right now. I ask you for the mercy that they stored up. And that's a whole nother message. But when you live for Jesus, you store up mercy for your children and your grandchildren. And I've cried out and said, Lord, show me a little bit of that mercy right now, because I need it. What else does this passage say? Oh, it talks about God blessing the increase of your cattle, offspring of your flocks. So this passage was written for Texans. Finally got some of you to wake up. In this day, that was the economy. That was everybody's life. They were all involved in that. What is God saying? He's saying, I will bless your vocation. That's what he's saying. Church, it doesn't matter what you are doing, what vocation God calls you to do, God will bless you in that because you're living for him. Look at the next verse. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. God's saying, it doesn't matter if it's raining outside or it's snowing outside, or on the rare occasion it's sunny outside. You're going to be blessed just by leaving your home. I'm with you. I'm there. I'm going to be your front and rear guard. I'm surrounding you. Wherever you go, whatever you face in that day, you're going to be blessed. And when you come home, I'm going to be right there. You're going to be blessed again. Aren't you thankful for that? Every day, God says, I'm with you and I'm going to bless you. The next verse, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The number seven in Scripture is God's number of perfection and completion. When the enemy comes against us, and the idea of scattering him seven different directions means that God is going to give you the ultimate victory over the enemy. Amen? He's going to give you a victory when that enemy comes to attack you. Verse 8, the Lord will command his blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Did you hear that? God says, I'm going to bless whatever you set your hand to. Whatever you're doing, I'm going to bless it. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Church, there's no doubt, or should be no doubt in your heart, that God's desire is to bless you. When you leave this place today, you should understand. I want you to go home and read that passage in Deuteronomy that we just read. And you need to read that until it's in your spirit. Until every day you go through, no matter what you're facing, you know God's blessing is upon me. Amen? And you need to read it and understand it until you understand that when you speak a blessing, that there's power. When you speak that in faith, there's power, and that blessing makes a difference in their lives. How many like that idea? How many want to be blessed? The last picture we have of Jesus in Scripture, he's saying farewell to his disciples. It's in Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51. And listen to what the Scripture says. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The very last thing that Jesus did, he's blessing them, and all of a sudden he begins to rise and just go into the clouds. And he's still blessing them. The very last thing Jesus did was bless those who were following him, who had placed their faith and their trust, their lives in his care. And church, that's the life we need to live. I pray the Lord will give me long life. Psalm 91 verse 16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My grandmother prayed that verse over my grandfather when he was dying. And the doctor said, there's no hope. The doctor sent her home to prepare for the funeral. And God gave her that verse while she was praying. She claimed that verse, and he lived to be 92 years old. He was dying. Gangrene had set in. His appendix had ruptured. It had gone so long that at that time the doctors didn't have any hope. But God brought him through, and he lived to be 92. And my prayer is, Lord, I want to live to be 92 if you should tarry. Actually, I'm hoping before I get that old that Jesus will come get us all. Amen? But if not, Lord, I want to have long life, and the last thing I want to do, just like Jesus, with my last breath that my family hears, I want to bless them. I want to speak the blessing of God upon them, because I know that it makes a difference. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.